Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
Good morning. Today the reading is going to be from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it, we will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build, and who is not able to finish?' And what king, going out, wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. One of the most important characters in the Gospel of Luke is the crowd, as it often throngs around Jesus. When he preaches and teaches, crowds build. Early in his ministry, the response of the crowd is almost always positive. But in the words of Luke, as Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem and the passion narrative comes closer, the crowds become less responsive. In the passage just read this morning, Jesus lines out what some scholars term the cost of discipleship. To be a true disciple, Jesus says, one has to hate the members of his or her family. One has to carry one's own cross, and ultimately you have to hate your own life and give up your own all of your possessions. I don't need to see hands raised who's on board with this, because none of us can manage this. I don't know anybody who truly manages. Maybe Mother Teresa, but even she has critics now that she's been sanctified. I have a friend, Dr. Barbara Kilgore, who is now retired as a United Methodist pastor. She refers to this, along with other challenging sayings by Jesus, as spinach spirituality. This is as opposed to dessert spirituality. That's not a knock on spinach. I like spinach, it has its place, but I prefer dessert. One example of a lighter or more dessert-like saying would be Matthew 5. The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, ending with, you are the salt of the earth. That's a little bit easier to take than this passage. It just strikes me as difficult. In this context, Jesus is setting different parameters and much higher demands for those who would claim to be card-carrying believers. Nearly two decades ago, I preached on this text. And this is just confessional. Once I get the sermon out, I have notes, and it's now saved on my tablet. But I've got another Sunday coming, so I'm focused on what I have to do next week from the moment this sermon ends. But people will ask me about what I've said, sometimes coming out the door, but usually there's some reflection. That Sunday I preached on this text some 20 years ago, I was standing and chatting with one of our then young adults, 24, 26 years old. He asked, what does it mean to take up one's cross? I'm a graduate school educated theologian, so I began with a little illustration about salvation theology. His eyes narrowed. It wasn't working. He wasn't having it. I began again with some palaver about existential meaning of what following Jesus might look like. He nearly lost consciousness. I said a silent prayer and asked, do you remember the old Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi film, The Blues Brothers? He said, yes, perking up a bit. I said, so tell me the plot. Well, he said, Jake and Elwood visit their old school, and the nun that is the headmistress says the school is broke and the school will have to close. And Jake and Elwood hatch a plot to save the school, and they do so with the help of many friends. He paused, and in that pause, I asked, what did they say to anyone who got in their way? And in his best Chicago accent, he said, you don't understand. We're on a mission from God. And that's exactly what they did. And somewhere in that, the Spirit said to me, that's what it means to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. It's about focus, and loyalty. What does it mean in terms of faith and function? In some manner, the answer is going to be different for every one of us. Jesus is not interested in casual interpretation in terms of followers. For Jesus, loyalty is the highest spirituality. He calls for people of faith to focus. Not a blind loyalty to him. Jesus didn't come to start a new religion. He came to re-signify the religion he grew up with. And in his harsh call, he's asking no less of people then and of us here and now. None of us wants to hear this passage because, I'll be honest, I can't measure up. I loved my parents. I love my wife. I love my sons. Sometimes I don't like them, but I love them. I don't want to renounce the family of origin I grew up in. And I like stuff. Now, I don't have my stuff own me, but I like the things I have. And the thought of giving that up and the thought of hating my own life seems just harsh. So part of the question we want to ask, and I don't fully have this answer, I'm educated, but this is a disputed I am saying of Jesus. Did he really say this? There are scholars who sit around and debate. Did he really say it? The truth is, we don't know for certain. But he said some outrageous things like this. Just read Luke. Every time the crowds got large, Jesus got in their face and said, you don't know anything. You think you do, but you don't. So for him, it's about loyalty and focus. I don't know what your cross is, but I suspect you have some sense of what loyalty means to you and what it means to focus on task. Let me be honest. I've put my life into a religious institution to which most of my generation, the 78 million baby boomers, have abdicated, just walked away from. So does that mean I'm a failure? No, it means I focused on what I thought I was meant to do. And I'm not dead yet. God's not through with me. So I still have some ability to focus, some ability to express my loyalty. People are fond of saying, we're so small, we compare ourselves to mega churches. Compare yourself to the message of Jesus. What did he have, 12? When the crowds got big, he said, get out. You hear me? We can do anything we want to do with just whoever's here, but part of the key is an intentional invitation to all into the party. Everybody's invited. That's what I love about the Methodist Church. Everybody's invited. I'm at the front of this line of those who complain, well, there's only a small group of people who actually do the work, the ministry of the church, and that's true. That's true of any volunteer organization, whether it's Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or Brownies or Optimists or you name it. It's usually 12 to 14% do the heavy lifting. So we need to get over our bad selves and understand that God calls us to do what we can do as we can do it to the very best of our ability and not worry or compare ourselves to anybody else in any time or place. So be it, and amen. Thanks be to God.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
For more information, find us at nohofumc.com, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at nohofumc.